Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I say immigration.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
Shot No Shot is brought to you by the wonderful people Teddy Greenstein and company at Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Points Bet Sportsbook's now open. You want to have some fun over the weekend? Download their awesome Points Bet app. Sign up. You drive in the Hawthorne Racecourse parking lot. You geolocate. Bam! You're active. You can do everything else on your phone and register your account. Throw a couple of dollars on a parlay and have a good time. And right now, 10th caller wins $100 in on-site Hawthorne Racecourse wagers you can use there. You can win a lot of money there. 100 more for the Points Bet Sportsbook. We'll give you horse racing programs for four of you and some real cool branded gift items for your group as well. 312-332-3776 is Hoodie says. Regular line, 10th caller. Time for Shot No Shot. Danny.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, man?
What up, Hoodie? How you doing, man? Sorry about your socks. Condolences.
Yeah, man. Pour one out for the socks. But you know what? You don't have to pour one out today. Hopefully, things will turn around today. I look at it like this, Danny. It's like, as Cap puts in perspective, it is a long series, and hopefully the Sox batch will start to come alive. That's the hope.
There you go.
All right, Danny, let's see what we have here.
All right, Joe. Well, let's start there with the Sox. It seems to be what everybody wants to talk about today. I simply ask you guys, shot or no shot, a 72-year-old baseball manager that does not ever break a sweat needs to cover his arm with sweatbands.
That's a shot, and the reason why is because Dusty's gone through some things. And even when he wasn't going through some things as far as health challenges, Dusty always dressed like he was still playing as a manager, correct?
Correct.
He always dressed like he's like he's about to take it to bat. He always looks like he's going to pinch hit at some point, right?
Yes.
His whole managerial career, he looks like, is he going to get a bat today?
Maybe.
That's how he always looks like that.
Danny, shot. Be you. You want to have your hair down as long as you want, pulled back in a man bun? You can pull it off. Guess what? Some people be like, dude, you're a dad. You're a working man. Cut your hair. Be you. Be you. He wants to wear sweatbands. God bless him.
Dusty always looks like, he looks like when he played, as far as like all the stuff on his arms. And
right.
Like, I was like, is this guy on the roster getting that bat? So he's always looked like that.
Don't you guys think the batting helmet was a bit much, though?
He's alive.
I'll tell you what, if Alex...
Danny, he's alive.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Jeff, he's not John Olerud.
I'll tell you what, if Alex Cora had sweatbands on, I wouldn't care at all. But Dusty Baker sitting in that dugout with the toothpick and the sweatbands, and I just keep picturing him managing my favorite baseball team. Take off the sweatpants. All right, let's get to a real question, guys. I got that out of the way. I feel better. It was almost cathartic to get that off my chest.
So crazy.
Back to the White Sox. Dallas Keuchel was the odd pitcher out after the Sox released their 26-player roster for the ALDS.
Miller was right.
Keuchel wasn't as consistent this season as he's been in the past. This year, he went 9-9 with a 5.28 ERA in 32 games. He started 30 of those. Keuchel signed a three-year, $55.5 million deal with the Sox before the 2020 season. The contract includes a team option for 2023. I ask you guys simply, shot or no shot, the Keuchel deal is a mistake.
Well, that's a shot. Mm-hmm. Now, they brought him in to be their John Lester kind of guy, but he's nowhere near as accomplished as John. They're going to have to eat that money next year. He'll be part of the rotation unless he has an Adam Wainwright-like renaissance.
Sure.
They're going to look back and go, hey, we rolled the dice. It wasn't $255 million. He wasn't that good.
So far, that's a shot. I expect a lot more from Keuchel. I thought that after the first year against the A's, or the way that the Sox fell short in that playoffs, I'm like, you know what? Keuchel will turn it around in this year for the Sox. And I got so tired of checking out the 4 2/3, 3 1/3, and just like these starts that in which he underachieved. Like, okay, you're supposed to get a lot better from Keuchel. I did not see that. So far, that is a shot. At best, he's a long man if he makes the rotation. But it shows you that La Russa looks at like Crochet and Bummer and goes, those guys are better than you.
Correct.
Off the roster. Sorry.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen, moving on to the beloved Bears who face the Raiders in Vegas this weekend. The Raiders rank fifth in the NFL with 407 yards per game, including 326 passing yards per game. This is second only to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Tom Brady. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, this vaunted Bears defense can hold the Raiders under 400 total yards and under 325 yards passing.
That's a shot.
Yeah, that is absolutely a shot because I think they can get pressure on the quarterback. Now, again, if Khalil doesn't play, if Akeem Hicks doesn't play, other guys are going to have to come through in a big, big way. But I think they can get pressure. I think they can absolutely keep them under those numbers.
Let's go, Robert Quinn.
Right? We need you, bud. You're 4.5 sacks in through 4 games. Let's get it on.
This is why the Bears stacked their defense the way they did. So say Mac doesn't play. Okay, we know that he's vital to the defense, but it doesn't break the defense down. You have other guys that can step up and get to the quarterback, including Roquan Smith and others, right?
Correct.
So it's not like the coverage bear if Mac isn't playing or if Hicks isn't playing. Others should be able to get to the quarterback.
Mario Edwards, guys like that. Bilal Nichols, they got to play big.
Now,
and Robert Quinn.
My concern is the secondary. That's my concern.
Correct.
How does that get better?
We're going to find out if you get pressure on the quarterback, gets the secondary better.
All right, Danny.
I heard Stephon Gilmore was available. Oh, no. Wait, hey. Sorry. We missed that one.
Keep your beak out of it, narrator.
Gentlemen, sticking with the beloved Bears, Tariq Cohn. Tariq Cohn suffered a torn ACL in his right knee over 12 months ago, and he remains on the physically unable to perform list. He could return to practice as soon as week 7. We are currently in week 5. My math isn't very good, but I believe that's 2 weeks away. I will now read to you from Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune. Quote, when Tariq Cohn jogged out of the tunnel at Soldier Field on this past Sunday, he wasn't moving with his normal gait. He still has a noticeable limp that he moved with during training camp, end quote. Earlier this week, the Bears flipped a future draft pick for help on special teams, trading a 2023 sixth-round draft pick to the Dolphins for wide receiver Jakeem Grant, who was a second-team All-Pro returner last season. So obviously, the Bears made this trade knowing Tariq Cohn will not be in the mix anytime soon. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, you believe Tariq Cohn will return to the field for the Bears before Week 10?
Ooh. See, I'm not a doctor, Danny. Like that's the hope, right?
Derrick Rose protocol, guys. Derrick Rose protocol.
All right, then that's not a lie.
Listen, Brad Biggs just said this past Sunday. He's still limping.
Who said this?
Brad Biggs.
I don't know him.
Great writer for the Chicago Tribune. Really good stuff. You should read it.
Every time I go by a Tribune, his column is whited out.
Listen, you're never going to get unblocked if you keep saying these things over the airwaves. Why don't you extend an olive branch?
I have, you know, many times.
Dan Weeder
want any part of it, that's fine.
Dan Weeder is a good friend of our show, and he also happens to be a good friend of Brad Biggs.
He tried to broker.
Oh, he did? All right.
So did David Haw and Olin and a few people. It hasn't worked.
How about Mully? Did he try to? No?
No. He did.
Talk to Kaplan. No, didn't happen?
Didn't happen.
All right.
By the way, Danny, can we...
Well, hold on a second. We've got to answer the question.
Yeah, there's...
He didn't even listen to it. He was mouthing something to you the whole time and hand gesturing and, like, yeah. It's 0 point of the questions I work on for a long time before the show. Did he pay attention?
No, okay. I'll answer the question. Then we have a sidebar brought to you by...
Howard Ankin will be here today. We're recording together the Ankin Law Group.
We'll find out. And so here's the thing. Well, I haven't seen any paperwork. Anyway, so that is unfortunate that you asked that question because we don't know the medicals on him. Hopefully he'll be around by week 10. But as you just said.
What does your gut tell you?
No shot.
They wouldn't have traded a six-round pick for a return guy if he could return to practice in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a no shot, and I'm really sad that that's the case because the Bears could use that team speed.
Correct.
So that's our answer. Now, sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, you may. Brought to you by the Ankin Law Group, Howard Ankin.
Okay, you saw this, Danny, right before shot or no shot. There's a man that's under a green tarp.
Well, we didn't know it was a man at that point.
Well,
he's in a laundry bag.
Yes, he's in a laundry bag.
And what's the sponsor? First Hand Laundry?
No, Best Hand Laundry.
Oh, Best Hand Laundry. Yes. Okay. So he's in a laundry bag, and he's been laying out in front of our State Street studios here.
Yeah, let me just, for some clarification. So Hoodie and I looked at each other and go, what is that? The bag was completely closed, and you just thought there was a body in there. And people are walking by looking, going, is that a dead body? And the fine security man, who's also a guard at the Cook County Jail, like I wouldn't mess with, came out and kicked it very lightly to see if the guy was alive.
Yes.
No response.
Right.
Now he goes down by the head of the bag. You think it's the head.
Kicks it again.
He kind of, he doesn't want to touch it, but lightly with his foot. No response. Now another person comes by and they're looking. No response. And all of a sudden, the bag tears open, and he grabs his hat, his Chicago hat, and he puts it on his head, like, puts his hands up, like, what's going on?
He looked up as if he was a sardine out of a can. He wakes up, stretches his arms out, Danny, oh, good morning. Yeah. What the hell? They thought you were dead.
Major bag alert.
Major bag alert.
I mean, it was a bag. I mean, this guy's in a lot. So, Mellon, can you see it from your angle? Can you see this guy?
Wait a minute. He's still in the bag, and he just picked up his cigarette and lit it.
Morning cigarette. Morning cig.
Now, hold on a second. Now, also, let me also paint the picture.
Everybody can't afford a cup of coffee, Cappy.
Yeah. Wake up. Get yourself a cup of coffee. Wake up. Get out of a laundry bag and get yourself a cig. So
he's chuckling at all this, by the way. He can hear you. He's laughing. He's giving us a thumbs up.
Here's the best, though.
We thought you were dead.
So here's the best, though. It's one of those new Chicago Cubs caps. What's the name of it? The City.
City Connect.
He's got a City Connect Cubs hat, and what's on the top of the bill?
The sticker.
Like me. He's got the sticker on like me. That's it. That's my guy. How about that? Now, Danny, what is the Danny?
Yes,
he
sir.
He was in a laundry.
I thought for a minute it was a corpse. When Cap showed it to me and the bag wasn't moving, and it looked sealed at the top, like somebody tied it off.
Right, like somebody zipped it closed. Yes. And
like, it was a body bag.
Yes.
Is that proper protocol? If you suspect someone is dead in a bag, do you kick? Is that the proper protocol?
Well,
or should it be more of a shake with your hand, polite?
I'll be honest. In COVID times, I feel like using the foot is what I would probably do.
He just kind of touched it with his foot. And now he's laughing at us. He's using the bag as a shawl. I'm not kidding you. The bag has gone from his condo to his clothing.
I love the fact that he's on the street. I don't know how long he's been in the bag. By the way, with a Chicago Cubs City Connect cap.
Right.
With the sticker on top, because he's my guy. Outstanding.
Best Hand Laundry. Cigarette in mouth, Cubs hat on, hoodie pulled up over the hat, ready to go.
Just keep in mind.
Just gave us a thumbs up. Have a good weekend, brother.
We should buy that man a pack of smokes.
Now, Danny, keep in mind, you notice the distinguishing characteristic besides the Best Hand Laundry bag. It was a flat bill.
Yes.
The bill was still tight.
Well, that's his style these days. Come on, hoodie. That's his style these days.
You're living on the street, but you still have a nice flat bill.
Listen, you gotta look
brand
good.
New. That's a brand new hat.
Where did he get that from?
And he's laughing.
The dumpster, where everybody that bought one of those hats put them.
He went
the ugliest alternate uniforms of all of them.
He went to the garbage can at Clark and Addison and picked them up. Like, this is a brand new hat. Damn. I'm about to put this on. My guy. Oh, that's great, man.
At least he's... I said to you in the middle... It's a lie!
It's the cleanest thing on him is that City Connect hat.
Wow.
Danny.
That's it. That's all the time. How can I follow that up?
All right. Mad Dog, our guy, goes after A-Rod. You're going to love this.
Danny.
Next.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
All right, rolling on. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Woo. Got a little spring in my step that our guy's alive. Upside.
I'm so happy, Danny. I want to just bring the curtain down just a little bit and just break the fourth wall. Danny is all about animals being eaten alive and just being torn up on videos because he gets into a wormhole.
Right.
And reads all and just sees all these videos where animals are attacking each other. But he has a queasy stomach for the possibly dead people that's in our city, that's like in front of us, that could be dead. He didn't have a stomach for that. He was going to throw up.
I'm right. Not going to lie. If that was a corpse there, I would have been unavailable for the rest of the show. However,
unavailable.
However, if that person was alive and a lion ran down State Street and started eating him, I would be front and center watching every second of it.
You're just a weird person.
You're just weird.
I mean, what the hell?
I don't know. Something about a corpse kind of creeps me out, but something about a lion doing what lions do is amazing.
Like my son, Alex, I hate chili. I hate chili. We took him to Superdog.
Yeah.
Yeah, can I get a chili dog? I'm like, oh, hold on a second. Whoa. Mom makes the best chili in the world. It's awesome. I don't eat your chili because I hate chili. Can I get a chili dog? Well, it's different because it's on a hot dog.
A lot of people, one of my best friends, Larry, he claims that he hates tomatoes and he's basically allergic to them, but he loves ketchup.
Yeah, our son Nick is the same way.
That's strange.
He'll eat like spaghetti and meatballs, but if you slice up a tomato, oh my God, he'll run 40 miles an hour the other way. Like, dude, it's the same stuff.
Yeah, just it's weird food taste. I get that. That's really strange.
No offense, Cap. I don't see a parallel between me hating corpses and wanting to see that guy getting eaten by a lion to not liking chili from your wife and liking
it
as super dog.
Bizarre. Like, you could watch that poor man get eaten alive by a cougar.
That'd be awesome.
And see his guts ripped out, and you'd be like, this is awesome.
More than likely, that cougar would be from the Gold Coast.
No question about it. 312-332-3776. So,
how about that, Danny? How about that one?
Yeah, take that,
leave
Danny.
On a high note there, Hoodie.
Take that, Danny.
More of a snow leopard neighborhood these days, but yes.
Oh, I haven't noticed,
what
Jeff.
What is a snow leopard? I'm not even familiar with that term.
Snow leopard?
The older leopard. The older cougars. Correct?
Correct. I don't think it's been Cougar Town in like a decade.
All right, go ahead.
Our guy Mad Dog Chris Russo. Mallor has a board of Chris Russo sound.
Yeah, we don't give you access to that because that would be trouble.
That would be. I don't have any of them except this rant I'm going to play, but this is the dude who, they took trains to Fort Wayne! Mm-hmm. I mean, our guy. He makes me laugh every time I hear his voice.
That makes me sick!
This is Mad Dog going after Alex Rodriguez.
One note before I go, and I love Vizgersian, so I hate to do this, but that broadcasting crew last night was from Hunger. That was a horrendous, horrendous broadcasting performance. Number one, A-Rod is inept. We have said this 1,000 times. It's worth saying again. He's a terrible, terrible analyst. I don't know why Bob Iger or anybody over there at ESPN or somebody, Eric Shanks at Fox, somehow, some way, they think the baseball world wants to hear A-Rod do these games. Nobody knows the baseball better than me as far as fans and everything else. I've done a show every day for 8 years on it, wintertime included, and I haven't met anybody in my life who's come up to me before, you know, on the tennis court, in the golf course, on the air, doing shows. Chris, you know what? A-Rod's great. Nobody. And A-Rod's performance yesterday was inept. Somehow in the ninth inning, he's breaking down Gerrit Cole and how next year he's going to two out in the ninth. Red Sox are about to win, and I'm listening, and Gerrit Cole's been out of the game for 3 hours, and I'm hearing about Gerrit Cole, who next year has got a good chance to win a Cy Young because next year is his sophomore year at the Yankees. No, it's not. It's his third year. Get the years right, please. I mean, that's mind-bogglingly bad. And then A-Rod playing, well, the Yankees can't play this sport like the Tampa team can because they're a major market team. They're the Yankees. They got to spend money. It's almost like he was doing Tony Clark's bidding from the Players Association, making good after they sued him, after he sued him a long time ago. I mean, A-Rod in the booth's a mess. I mean, it's a disaster. He was terrible. Doesn't want to shut up. That was bad.
Oof. How about our guy?
Boy, that's not as, it's not funny, but it's actually true. A lot of stuff that he was saying there.
I mean, that's mind-bogglingly bad.
Yes. I mean, that just cutting commentary on Alex Rodriguez. How about that?
How about that? Crushed him.
I mean, it's a disaster. He was terrible. Doesn't want to shut up.
Tell him to take a train to Fort Wayne.
Wow.
You know, he's taking trains to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
For God's sakes. It's unbelievable. Is A-Rod, when he's on the tennis court or the golf course, no one's ever told me A-Rod's great. Okay? No one ever tells you that he doesn't know to shut up. Two outs in an eighth. When you talk about Garrett Cole, his second year, sophomore year. It's his third year. Okay, get it right. Okay?
Get the years right.
Get the right years right. Adios.
Okay? Nobody knows the baseball better than me, and as far as fans and everything else.
Yes, no, yes, that's true. Nobody knows baseball like Christopher Russo.
Nobody.
Yeah. The Mad Dog.
On his way to the Hall of Fame. There you go.
Jeez. So funny. 312-332-3776. Eddie has been hanging in since, as you like to say, Christ was a baby.
That's right.
Here's Eddie on the north side.
God almighty!
What's up, you cruiser?
Not at that.
Guys, I tell you one thing. I don't care who is pitching for the White Sox. If they don't go out and score 5 or 6 runs or 7 runs, win 8-7, win 6-5, they are not even getting, they'll get swept. It doesn't matter. If they're not going to hit the ball, like in the beginning of the year, I said to myself, they had this one little roll where they were shut out, and then they lost to the Cubs. I was like, wait a minute. This is not a playoff team. This is not a team like, oh, wow, we got to play the Dodgers. Wait, we've got to play Houston. When they think of the White Sox now, they're like, okay, bring on the White Sox. That's the guy we want to play in the playoffs. So they need to hit the ball, and they can come back. But if they don't score 5 or 6 runs in these next few games, it's going to be over. And about the A-Rod thing, I hate that guy, and I don't know why ESPN has it on there. Even Greenberg, when he has him on there, that steroid guy, I don't believe one word he says out of his mouth. You guys have a great weekend, and I love you guys.
Thank you, Eddie.
Appreciate you, Eddie. By the way, he does wear an earpiece where he has researchers feed him stuff.
Danny, you have intel on that, right? He's got two earpieces.
I think the guy's, what is he, a Harvard guy?
Yeah, there's a Harvard research guy that, in his ear, that because I tweeted one day, wow, that was really insightful from A-Rod, and somebody of note reached out to me and said, dude, don't ever tweet that again. He's got a Harvard researcher in his other ear.
But here's the problem with that. He gets so much stuff wrong that Harvard researcher sucks.
No, I think he gives him the right intel. I think A-Rod is not competent enough to deliver it in the correct manner.
I mean, A-Rod in the booth's a mess. I mean, it's a disaster. He was terrible. Yeah. Doesn't want to shut up.
I know. I understand.
Is A-Rod starting to...
I mean, that's mind-bogglingly bad.
It's mind-bogglingly, yes, bad. Yeah, I understand. Yes,
is his star going to diminish without J-Lo?
What did you say?
Is his star going to diminish without J-Lo?
Yeah.
No.
Like, the only reason anyone liked him is because of J-Lo. He was a big star.
Not a chance!
Just understand something here about A-Rod. And again, it's a very unusual career that he has. He's on Fox and ESPN. I don't know how that happens where he's on both networks.
And he's not good.
That's like,
and
amazing.
He's a known cheater.
Right.
Sammy Sosa can't even get into Wrigley Field, and A-Rod's on every network.
Right.
It's funny how that works in baseball, right? You have a known cheater and A-Rod lying to Peter Gammons, lying to Mike Francesa.
Lying to Katie Couric.
Lying about the steroid, but yet he's got 2 gigs.
Barry Bonds, shunned from baseball, all-time home run leader. A-Rod, broadcast every game.
FS1, also the same network that believed in Pete Rose, too, right? You put a gambling cheat on there as an analyst. Now, he was entertaining. At least Pete was entertaining, right?
Correct.
So I didn't mind him being out there, but it's just like baseball, if you are going to exile, get rid of these people and not put them in your sport, but put them on TV, that's a disconnect, isn't it?
Pete was ahead of his time, Hoodie.
Yeah, I agree.
He was. Today, not a big deal.
It's very good.
All right, Jesse Rogers, our baseball insider, covering Sox Astros. He joins us next.
Nobody knows the baseball better than me.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's 837, great city of Chicago.
I think I'm going to be in charge of music now.
All right, let's not do that. We have test pattern.
Jesse Rogers is our guy. He's our baseball savant. He's our insider, and he joins us now. Jesse, good morning. A lot of people calling in. Why'd they start Lance Lynn in game one? Why didn't they start Giolito? Because I was told they wanted Lucas to get an extra day of rest, and it still sets up, if he wins today in a much more favorable matchup than Lance McCullers, that he comes back on normal rest in game five, if there is one.
That's exactly right. Yep. They both got that extra day of rest instead of zero for Giolito and two extra for Lance Lynn. The bottom line, we talked about it Wednesday, Lance Lynn was going to have to pitch one of these two games. So whether Giolito wins one and you lose two with Lynn or the other way around, it's going to be all the same. Now, hopefully, the pressure doesn't, let's say, get to Giolito because they're down 0-1. You wouldn't want that to happen. Then you can start second-guessing. Maybe he should have pitched game one because it was 0-0 in terms of the series. But either way, Lynn versus the Astros is a bad matchup. It's obvious. It happened again yesterday, and you are so right. If Giolito goes out, even if they lose the night and somehow get to five, I would think Giolito would be your game five starter simply because of that matchup. Lynn throws fastballs. This team hits fastballs. It's pretty simple what happened yesterday. The question marks come, why did Lynn throw even more fastballs than normal? 74 of 76 pitches were fastballs. Now, for people that don't know, there's different kinds of fastballs, and he's a master at throwing all of them, sinker, four-seam, cutter, and he does a great job. But the bottom line is the Astros sit on fastballs, and he threw even more than normal. You would have thought he'd throw a little less, throw in a curve or two, throw in a changeup or two. In fact, he threw one changeup in the second inning, one curveball in the third inning. Everything else was fastballs, and they got to him.
Jesse, what did you think of the lineup when it was unveiled for the White Sox?
Well, I was like most people, thinking Robert would bat higher and get that extra at bat in the two hole. But sometimes we debate that too much, right? At the end of the day, if Robert was batting second yesterday, Makata fifth, would it have made a difference? In fact, Makata had some good at bats, so I don't think it would have made a difference. But in a closer game, that extra at bat for a guy like Robert could be huge. So I was a little surprised, but I kind of just, I tweeted it out actually, and then I moved on to the next thing. Like, Lance McCullers shut them down. Simple as that. I don't think it mattered where Robert batted. Now, if we want to take this another step, Jay Hood, Cesar Hernandez was picked up, to add a little something. He didn't even play because they like what Garcia has been doing. However, the bottom line is, and this might be a little hindsight, but I've been talking about this since January, February, March, April. Do they have enough left-handed slug on this team? Because against good right-handed pitching, they can get shut down. And I will tell you, I looked this up again this morning to be sure. Of the eight playoff teams, the White Sox have the lowest OPS against plus 500 right-handed pitching. It's a stat I brought up to you before.
Man.
Against the good teams, against their right-handed pitching, they are eighth of eight playoff teams in OPS. So, again, it's against the Lance McCullers of the world that sometimes you need a lefty to run into one. It's also why I mentioned Grandel the other day as being one of the most important players on this team in the playoffs.
So they're showing some Lance McCullers on the monitor in here, and I turned to Hoodie. I said, that guy is unhittable. There's a great follow. I know you're on it. I think Hoodie is as well. At Pitching Ninja,
yes,
Rob
sir.
Friedman. He did a two-seam, 95-mile-per-hour fastball and an 85-mile-per-hour slider overlay. They look like the identical pitch. Identical. Until the last quarter of a second when the slider ends up 4 feet off the plate and Tim Anderson swings and misses and just shakes his head like, you got me. That kid is a beast.
And that is why there are moments where you just have to cross your fingers and hope a left-hander in particular runs into one. And the team could use a Kyle Schwarber type. And I don't want to harp on this too much because they're a good team, and they might Valdez lefty. They'll get to a righty at some point in this series, let's say. But you're exactly right. When you're facing that kind of pitching, you've almost just got to try to win the game 2-1 or 3-2. And that's what a scout told me he thought, Sox games were going to be like in the playoffs. those kind of low-scoring games where you run into a home run or two. But they don't have enough left-handed slug to be confident to do that against great right-handed pitching. He was as good as you'll see yesterday. There's no doubt about that.
So here we are, Jesse, with game number two with Valdez on the mound, the lefty. And this should be the bread and butter for the Sox offensively as they really hit left-handers well. So I wonder how much the lineup changes now.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think Hernandez will be in there, Caesar. He has more pop from the right side than the left side. So I think you probably want him in there. This game definitely favors the White Sox. I mean, yesterday sort of played out to form. Bad matchup for Lance Lynn. Good matchup for Lance McCullers. This is the opposite. Giolito did a good job against them in Chicago when they beat them 10-1, I think it was, earlier in the year. It is the lefty on the mound. We know the White Sox hit lefties better. I think Hernandez would be in the lineup. And then maybe Andrew Vaughn, possibly, something like that. But I don't see a huge change to the middle of that order from yesterday, other than maybe Abreu actually plays first base if he's feeling better.
As you look at the defense, that was my biggest concern with the White Sox, that they could screw up a play because they're a very mediocre defensive club. And in this level of baseball, when it's, hey, man, you blow one play, it could cost you a series. Are you concerned about their defense?
A little bit. I mentioned this on the air yesterday. I talked to a few Sox pitchers that were a little concerned. So this is not a big mystery. You know, Rick Hahn, Tony, they know this. But I always thought that, you know, a guy like Moncada would step up, you know, Tim Anderson would step up a little bit, you know, when the games get a little more meaningful. And yesterday they had a play at the plate. I don't think Moncada screwed it up too much, although I think the guys on Fox broke it down a little bit in the second game, where maybe Moncada wasn't playing exactly where he should have to cut down Altuve at the plate. A little bit concerned, not as much as other people, because I do think it has the ability to be good. I like Abreu back in there over Sheets or anyone else, so hopefully he's at first. With Robert in center, you're okay with the gaps. Eloy in left is always a question mark. I think right field's okay. I'm less concerned than a lot of people. I feel like that left side of the defense especially will step up in big games. And I don't think this defense was a big deal yesterday. Lance Lynn threw a wild pitch, and then they scored on an infield hit. But the stars were not aligned for them to win that game yesterday, not the way they were hitting at the plate.
Go ahead.
Jesse, in terms of what the White Sox lineup will be today, we had some callers wanting to know why Andrew Vaughn wasn't in there, so I pulled up his numbers. He's 22 for his last 122. Mm-hmm. He's hitting like .180. Do you expect him to get really good opportunities in the postseason?
Against left-handed pitching. I think it's kind of an obvious platoon with Sheets and Vaughn. Righty Sheets is in there. Lefties Vaughn is in there. I think Vaughn does start today along with Cesar Hernandez. I think those are the two changes to the lineup. I know he wasn't as hot, but it's a reset, right? It's a reset. The regular season was a week ago, and many times the guy that's cold then is going to be hot now and vice versa. So, yes, I think Vaughn's going to be in there against left-handed pitching. Why have him on the roster if he's not going to get some at-bats against lefties? That's my feeling.
My friend, I know that you got a chance to watch some of the Rays and Red Sox as well. Boy, still in my top five, has to be in your top five as well, Jesse. The stealing of home has to be in your top five. It's so rare, but as far as exciting plays in baseball, a Rosarena steals home.
That was amazing.
We have not seen that since Jackie Robinson in 55. I mean, we don't see it often, but when it happens, man, it's great.
With a left-handed hitter at the plate, that always is amazing because the catcher, everyone can see him coming. What a team that squad is, right? With not a lot of stars. Just amazing job they can do on the mound, rotating guys in and out. They might win it all. Without big names, it's just an amazing, amazing organization. I think I said the other day, like, the league loves the Rays because they prove you don't have to spend money to win. The Players Association hates the Rays because of the same reason.
The league
loves the Rays, and they prove that you don't. Scouting and analytics can get the job done. They do it at the best level of anybody in baseball, really do.
Cap, until they are able to win the World Series, when they do it, if they do it, that will be the new formula. right? Look at how frustrated Yankees fans probably are this morning, right? But big time payroll, they always have a commitment to winning, but it doesn't always work out that way. I mean, the Dodgers are, you know, they spend a lot of money, but also they have some value of the farm system. So until a team like the Rays is able to get it done, then I think that other teams will follow suit, say, okay, you know what? We're just going to really hone in on our farm system. We'll spend some money. We're going to make sure the analytics are sound. And as I told Carmen, Jesse, I just think that the Rays are the most complete team in baseball for me, 1 through 25 or whatever,
what,
to me.
What should be really investigated, not investigated, but understood is how they handle their pitchers coming up through their system. Everybody is basically interchangeable, right? From closer to middle guy to starter. It's really strange. Now, you know, Tyler Glasnow is a stud starter, but in general, their pitchers are all interchangeable, and I think other teams have tried to do it. Jed was talking about the other day, Jed Hoyer, just like how it's changed in that regard. But, man, the Rays have mastered it more and quicker than – or better and quicker than anyone else.
Jesse, have a great day.
All right, let's see how game two goes. See you guys.
You got it. See you. There's Jesse Rogers. Am I a horrible grandfather? Next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So I have a grandson.
Oh.
His name is Benjamin David. And I adore that little guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got more hair than I do. A little jealous. So my wife
Only you would have hair envy on a baby.
Yes. My wife says yesterday, hey, when you're done doing TV, I bought tickets for Garrett and Jenny, my son and daughter-in-law, and you and I to take Ben to a pumpkin patch Friday night, tonight. Excuse me? He's 8 months old. And she said, it's Halloween season. We're going to go there. I said, Mindy, there are 4 Major League Baseball playoff games. There's college football.
Yeah.
But baseball playoffs, I adore. Really? Then you don't have to go.
Well, you didn't. I know you didn't like that tone.
Correct.
She didn't say it was sweet, right? It was kind of harsh. In the middle, maybe?
Yeah, not quite harsh. It's like, then don't go.
Well, that's even worse.
Dismissive.
That's even worse.
Dismissive.
Oh, boy.
So am I being a bad grandfather because I want to watch the baseball playoffs?
Yes, the
like
worst.
Like, if he was graduating junior high, I'd be there.
He adores the little guy, just not as much as game one of the NLDS between the Braves and the Brewers.
You only get
Charlie
one
Morton versus Corbin Burns.
You only get one first grandchild, and he only gets one first trip to the pumpkin patch, and you're going to lay your big bleep on the couch to watch two teams you care nothing about.
Now, here's the thing that you've got to understand, Cap. It's really about the memories, right? I mean, I'm sure there'll be a nice photo being taken, and you know, little Benjamin will be able to look back and say, that's my grandpa. Look at him. He was there at the pumpkin patch with me.
Do you know what they have him call me?
What's that?
Not grandpa.
Pop-pop?
Cappy.
Oh, that's fine.
Cappy.
Yeah, other people call you Cappy, too.
Right.
So, well, I understand.
What does Ben call Mindy?
Mimi.
Mimi, okay. So one day, Ben will grow up, Hoodie, and he'll say, Mimi, why isn't Cappy in the photo of my first pumpkin patch? And Mimi will say, well, Ben, that's the day.
He was gambling.
That it was the first day of the NLDS, the second day of the ALDS back in 2021, and he just wanted to watch baseball.
So he didn't want to spend time with me on my first pumpkin patch?
No.
Boy, that's sad.
It's not that.
He just loves baseball more than you, Ben. Don't take it hard.
It's his.
He loves baseball more than everybody.
It's his job.
Cap, we are not going to say two words about any game that doesn't involve the Bears or the White Sox on Monday. I promise you that.
I've got to be prepared. What if you throw it and shot no shot?
I will not. How about this? I'll give you my word. You're free to not watch any of those baseball games and go be with your cute, adorable grandson. I will not sandbag you and ask you questions you're not prepared for.
And now it's time for David Kaplan from Cap and J-Hood here on NBC5. He's right at Samblin here. And Cappy, tell us about San Francisco and the Dodgers.
I watched it, and I'll give you some thoughts. Take that! I didn't go to the pumpkin patch.
So I got a whole bunch of notes here for it. They're not doing that. When you get on five, they're going to ask you about the Bear. And maybe the Sox. Then you're going to ask you about Boston Tip?
Probably not.
A little Atlanta Milwaukee?
Probably not.
Okay. That's why you should go. So you got no excuses.
So I should go to the pumpkin patch tonight.
I hope it's a pumpkin patch where they can lock your phone. I hope it's one of those private pumpkin patches where it'd be like, sorry, we'll have to take your phone. Wait a minute! I wasn't told this!
I don't know how the
phone, no games! Oh, God! What's going on?
Like, I don't know
if how do you live bet from a pumpkin patch and they don't let you have your phone?
The Wi-Fi's terrible on this thing! I've got the Dodgers on the money line, but I can't do it! Mindy! I'm out of here.
Get an Uber home.
Like, I don't know how your followers and audience will survive, Cap, if they don't have a recap of Shane Baz making his first MLB start in the playoffs and Chris Sale going 5 1/3 today.
But I got to watch. Hey, man, I got to watch. So, welcome. Cap and J Hood, morning, 7 to 10. Logan Webb. Let me tell you my thoughts on him. And he take on Walker Buehler. I watch the game. From the pumpkin patch. Take that. Mindy's ruining my life.
The Bears win in Vegas on Sunday if we want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Answer that question for us in 2 minutes.
For a baseball game.